November 10th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 19, looking at verses 13 through 30, with part two of last week's message titled, Infants, Contrasted with the Rich Young Ruler.
Coming to the realization that the requirement of the law is so great for us, it's impossible for sinners. But here comes the greatest news in the whole Bible. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. It's indeed impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. I wonder if he smiled when he said that.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
And this kingdom all over Jesus spoke of, he said, is graciously given to people. It's not anything merited. It's graciously given. Remember what he said to the disciples, and I bestow a king. It's language of a gift. I bestow a kingdom upon you, just as my Father has bestowed on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you receive that as a little child. And notice the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Two verbs. We're not even on the same page. We're not even on the same page here. Do and inherit. Again, I think it's important. If this is not the question in Acts, what must we do to be saved? How do I do to get into glory? What do I need to do? On all accounts, this is the most moral man Jesus has ever come across yet. He's what everyone would have said is a good person. You looked at someone like this and you would think, this is the man God's got to be pleased with. Like, the Lord would have to be pleased with someone like this, right? He loves his wife, never committed adultery. He's not divorced. We just looked at divorce and remarriage. In general, he's in church on Sunday. He serves a lot. He does a lot. He's a good moral person. What's troubling him is, I don't have peace of conscience. How could I be so moral and still lack something? Something's missing in his life. You ever feel like that? I come here, I've been raised in the church, I've worshiped all my life, but I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. I have no sense of certainty. I don't really connect. I'm trying. I really don't know that I've really entered the kingdom or I'm going to heaven. What do you do with a person like that? What would you do with someone like that? I mean, if I had this guy come into the church and he's somewhat famous and he's a model guy, but he was troubled with this, I certainly wouldn't make matters worse for him, right? That's not what you want to do to somebody like this. I mean, he's respectful, he's sincere, and that's just what Jesus does. Christ doesn't do anything we think or how we would treat a person like this. He doesn't present him with a proposition to make a decision. Hey, sign on the dotted line. I mean, Jesus is gospel-less at this point. Totally gospel-less with this guy. Now, if someone's going to come to Christ with a question like this, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is going to answer appropriately, knowing that no flesh is justified by the law. Then Jesus is going to answer with the law. And so he takes him to the law, and he lets the law begin to do its work. You know the commandments. Jesus has a goal here in using the second table. He's taking him to the heart of his struggle. It's evangelistic strategy and it's for certain, but it's Jesus's wisdom with the intention of the law. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. He goes through many of those. You'll notice here in the second table, honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Mark, it kind of stands out. Do not defraud. That's kind of an interesting one to throw in the midst of this, and it makes sense. Defraud is kind of a sinful coveting of holding on to things that could be used to help your neighbor. He's a man holding it back. He's a stingy fellow. And Jesus is reading him. Did the disciples yet comprehend receiving the kingdom as a little child? Well, if they didn't, they're sure about now to hear the problem of why people don't. Here's his answer. And he answered and said, "Teacher," notice his answer that he gives, "all these I have kept. What do I still lack?" He even says in another gospel, "all of them I've kept from my youth." You see what Jesus is doing? The law always has this first intention to awaken a heart. To awaken a heart to sin, it's very important. This is what Paul describes in Romans 7. "I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me." What he's saying is this. I was alive once in my own estimation. I was in a good place. The law had not come home to me. And I was alive that way. I thought well of myself until the commandment came and it drove a dagger right into my heart. And I panicked. And then I died to myself. There was a time in my life, says Paul, I didn't see a thing. I can testify to that. I didn't see a thing. People live this way generally. They think they're generally good people, and they've not considered on these terms. This is the point. On God's terms, God, here's the point. If you're going to come at him with that kind of thinking, here's the demand. I demand perfect and complete obedience. And so for many, while they're not quite certain about heaven, what never really occurs to them is that on those conditions, they're headed right for hell. We could do the same. Now, I've never really stolen. I stole a squirt gun off my second grade teacher's desk. I don't know if it was Mrs. Kesting or not. She's sitting over there, my third grade teacher. She'll know. I've never committed adultery. I've pretty much honored my parents. I've never murdered. I've never, gossiped? I've done that. But, I try to keep that under control. You see what's happening here? Apart from the law, sin lies dead. And if you want to know the full weight of the law, study the Sermon on the Mount. I was dead. None of it hit home. How in trouble I am in this life. And if you want to use Edward's sermon, in this state, you're right. You hang like a thread over the pit of hell. This man had just been brought to the most important place he can come. And so Jesus takes the law and he drives it in just like a dagger. In the one place in his life that he won't see, he refuses to see, where sin has its strongest grip on him. And he does this with us. What do I lack? If you would be perfect, go. If you would be perfect, go, Sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Wow. He took the 10th commandment and he thrust it right into his heart. Was Jesus serious? Kind of makes being an infant pretty attractive right now, doesn't it? They don't have the ability to put all these things first in their lives. They're not playing a game. He's dead serious. On these terms, if you want to play that game, keeping the law for salvation, this is what the terms are. The rich become the example here. What is the problem with people who have everything in this life? What is the problem with people who have everything? I actually think we have all this backward. I think that's a hard life. We're always trying to attain to it. Why? So that you're independent and free and don't have to live paycheck to paycheck? Having everything, you don't have to worry about a dime. Jesus says, for people like this, it's really hard for them to enter. Actually impossible. We try to immediately explain that away to a spiritualizing of it. No, he's speaking of rich. He's driving a point home. For people like this, they never think they need anything. And this is why the relationship to God is contractual. Until maybe they say, I know something's wrong. I don't have inner peace. Because those things never give it. I went street evangelizing in Escondido yesterday. That was something else. It was really eye-opening for me. Guess who would talk to me? All the broken, all the poor, all the needy, the drug addicts for sure. Guess who wouldn't give me the time of day? All the affluent. I was an intrusion to them. If one relies on being a good person and thinking that they just do more, that God will be pleased, he looks right into your hearts and he takes the chief commandment that you're not wanting to see and that you're downplaying, and he drives it home and says, since you're self-sufficient, since you truly are trying to do this on your own terms, go home today. Now listen to this. Go home today. You want to play that? Here's what I require. Go home today, sell your home, empty your bank accounts, and give it all to the poor. Divest yourself of all this covetousness in your heart and all this idolatry, and you'll have it. He's not joking. So the terms of the law. Pick a commandment today. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Don't miss worship when it's called twice. You want to play this game. Love God. Give him your everything. That's the demand. And you see, beloved, when we begin to comprehend the righteous requirement of the law, you got two choices. You got two choices, right? Here's one. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And there are many who will hear something like this in this sermon and walk away and say, God's ways are hard. This is hopeless. I give up. Now, Jesus would have failed every evangelism handbook day, guide of our day, right? He just let the guy walk away. You know, the confusion of the disciple, we're fishers of men. What are you doing? It was good for him to go home and to ponder this. Did he come back? Well, that's a good question. So Jesus turns to his disciples. Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, was there any difficulty for the infant to receive it? No. I've convinced you of infant baptism, haven't I? Children were carried to him. No abilities, no nothing. This man carries himself to Jesus having everything. And that was the problem, because he was unwilling to receive the kingdom with nothing in his hands he brings. Jesus says, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. How do you feel right now? That's an important question, isn't it? If I've done my job, I left those who've approached God this way in complete despair. This is not to beat up the rich. This is just an illustration here. It is indeed an illustration of everyone who's rich in themselves. Martin Luther said, if doctors and learned men won't hear me, then let them leave the doors open. I'll preach to the common people, the cobblers and the peasants, the widows and the orphans, who will gladly hear God's word. I'm thankful the professors here listen, so that's not a dig at them. But you get the point, right? And you see it in the response of the disciples. They're greatly, the language here is strong. They are blown out of their minds. What is this? They're bewildered beyond. He just made it completely impossible for anyone to be saved on their own. Now that should have some kind of worrying effect on people. We're all headed for hell. If that we stay on those terms, then nobody can be right with God. He wanted that effect. He wanted despair. Coming to the realization that the requirement of the law is so great for us, it's impossible for sinners. And you see, beloved, if the text left us here today, none of us would make it. But here comes the greatest news in the whole Bible. I'm just blown away by this. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. It's indeed impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. I wonder if he smiled when he said that. There's two responses. One is to walk away thinking, I can't do this. You haven't listened to a thing we've been saying. It is to stay there. The other response is to have this word cut your hearts like an axe, right? And when the word cut their hearts, they said, sirs, in despair, or the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Or the Apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And the answer? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. God was standing there. God was standing there and had come to do what? Jesus came to die on a cross, to atone for sins. And he says to everyone, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. That's where he wants us. Christ says, I'm here. This is why I was sent. The question that changes, it's no longer what can I do to get to heaven? What do I need to do to be saved? And the answer comes back. Faith alone. Faith alone. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from all your sins. Think of how special this is. The promise today to close this out is to you and to your children. Come in faith. Bring your children in faith, your infants, to receive the kingdom. All those who come in faith are saved and have entered the kingdom. Have you entered the kingdom of God today like a little child? It just takes away all the pride, all the smugness, all the Pharisee stuff. Come to him. Don't walk away sad. If you do, you miss the sermon. He shows you his hands and his side in the resurrection for a reason. The work is done for you. Believe. Believe in me, says Jesus, and you will be saved. Best news I could give an end on today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious text. Thank you for showing us the way. Help us, O Lord, to come in faith. And then, O Lord, to begin in this life to honor your law as a way of gratitude. May we not walk away sad, but may we always come to you believing. And thank you for giving us the message we need to hear. Not always what we want, but we need to hear that we might drop our knees and worship God who came to deliver us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning into us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris as he continues his series in the book of Matthew. Thanks again. Until next time.